As the Merriam-Webster Dictionary explains, white nationalist is defined as one of a group of militant whites who espouse white supremacy and advocate enforced racial segregation. While white supremacist is a person who believes that the white race is inherently superior to other races and that white people should have control over people of other races. But we'll be talking about this and more on this episode of Jarius, the Unofficial Therapist. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 13th ever episode of Jarius, the Unofficial Therapist. I'm your host, Jarius, the Unofficial Therapist. Before we get started, I do want to remind you all that you can become financial supporters of this show by going to anchor.fm/tolson/support. Again, that is anchor.fm/tolson/support. Now let's get into the verbal disclaimer. This episode of Jarius, the Unofficial Therapist, is not for those without an open mind. From the title, you already know that this topic is something that many of you will not be able to listen to and understand the severity of. This episode covers the very controversial topic of white nationalism or supremacy, along with the Black Lives Matter movement. Opinions stated in this episode that those are solely Jarius and out of Anchor, Spotify, Breaker, CastBox, Radio Public, Google, Apple, or anyone else. Viewer discretion is advised. The United States is living through a moment of profound and positive change in attitudes towards race, with a large majority of citizens coming to grips with the deeply embedded historical legacy of racist structures and ideas. The recent protest and public reaction to George Floyd's murder are a testament to many individuals' deep commitment to renewing the founding ideals of the Republic. But there is another more dangerous side to this debate, one that seeks to rehabilitate toxic political notions of racial superiority, stokes fear of immigrants and minorities to inflame grievances for political ends, and attempts to build a notion of an embattled white majority which has to defend its power by any means necessary. These notions, once the preserve of fragile and fringe white nationalist groups, have increasingly infiltrated the mainstream of American political and cultural discussion, with poisonous results. For a starting point, one must look no further than the President of the United States, Donald Trump. On July 28th, the President of the United States retweeted a clip of some of his supporters in which one of them yelled out the phrase, white power. In the tweet, he called them great people. After he deleted the tweet 3 hours later, the president's only excuse was that he didn't hear the phrase. Now I'm going to play the clip for you all, and you all can judge whether or not you hear the phrase for yourself.
Gracious! Yeah, you got it, you! White power! Yes, there you go, white power. You hear that?
In many ways, this is a return of an old American political tradition rather than a wholly new phenomenon, but it has taken on a new form and uses language that must be properly understood if it's to be successfully challenged. Concepts of white supremacy were at the heart of the defense of slavery, and concepts of white nationalism were at the heart of the defense of segregation. Now, there is little new in the ideas that underpin white nationalism and white supremacy and the alt-right and fascism. At its core, white nationalism is little more than an attempt to cloak white supremacist ideas in the more respectable language of racial separatism, just as the alt-right has tried to repackage fascist thought in a more modern form. All these variants are built on the common notions of a white identity and racial superiority. They promote hate and violence as valid political tools, rejecting values of equality, coexistence, and the rule of law in favor of raw power and ethnic division. This is best seen in the Black Lives Matter movement versus the All Lives Matter movement. The most common rebuttal for when people say Black Lives Matter is All Lives Matter. And that wouldn't be a problem if the people saying it actually meant it. You see, when they say it, and you know who they are, when they say it, they are only referring to white lies, which sounds a whole lot like white supremacy. They aren't talking about the kids in the cages at the border. They aren't talking about the countless black mothers and children who died during childbirth, or the transgender people who are killed every day. They're referring solely and only to white lies. It should not be difficult to say Black Lives Matter, and yet there have been instances of people trying to delegitimize the movement by answering the call. To care about the lives of a race of people who have been systematically disenfranchised for centuries. If you thought or said All Lives Matter out loud during this time, you are missing the bigger picture. Studies show that black people, and primarily black men, are killed by a rate of about 3-1 compared to white people by police officers annually. It's been going on for decades. Today, the primary difference is awareness due to the use of smartphones and social media. Speaking out against police brutality can literally save a life. Silence is not an option. By now, everyone has heard the name George Floyd. We know that he was brutally suffocated and killed while handcuffed like an animal. Ahmaud Arbery suffered a similar fate, hunted and killed for sport while jogging. I'm sure many white Americans can't even begin to imagine what it feels like to know that you can be killed by a fellow American civilian or by the police on any given day or night, and to realize that the person has a fairly good chance of getting off or beating their charges because of the color of their skin must be even harder to imagine. But Black people have had to live these experiences. That's why we, along with non-Black allies across the nation and globally, say Black Lives Matter. Really think about all the ways that, under the law, Black people have been treated as less than. We were the only race of people brought to the U.S. as slaves. We were bought and sold like a commodity, not valued for being human, but for the work we produced. The Constitution of the United States defined us as 3/5 of a person. Not only were we enslaved, but educating a slave was against the law. We could not own land, and we could not even vote. Even after segregation ended, we were still only allowed to buy land in designated redlined areas. Banks would not provide us loans, and we were again segregated. Our neighborhoods, our families, our schools, and our children. The cycle continues today. Protesters are forcing institutions to be accountable for any way they have continued the legacy of not seeing Black people as equal. Over the past few weeks, many friends have contacted me asking how to help. And my answer is for those of you in positions of authority, hire people of color, give someone a chance. Stand up against injustice, speak up when you hear derogatory names and statements made against people of color. Educate yourself on Black history, slavery, and institutional racism. If you see a Black person stopped by a police officer, pull over and film it. You could literally save a life. Believe it or not, things have gotten better. I've seen many statements that have read, nothing has changed, but that is not true. We have come a long way, and for that I am proud. I would not be here today with the opportunities that have been afforded to me unless there has been true progress. Let us not forget those who have gone before us. We stand on the shoulders of many men and women who, of all colors, who have sacrificed, marched, and fought for equality and justice for all people. As we move closer to the elections this November, know that elections matter. I encourage my fellow Americans to commit change. If you are a teacher, a parent, mentor, brother, sister, be a leader. Know that your actions matter. And remember that racism is taught, is a learned behavior. We are not born with hate in our hearts. Acts of kindness and respect go a long way. Know that it matters how you treat people, and not just some people, all people. People living in poverty, people without means, people without influence or power. And to everyone, I say broaden your networks. Make a serious effort to develop friendships that cross racial, economic, and social lines. Expose yourself to a different way of thinking and new ways to see the world. And possibly the next time you see injustice, you will see the bigger picture, that Black lives matter. And then remember that there is hope, and to vote this November. Go to vote.org to check your registration status and even register to vote. Again, that is vote.org. And lastly, I do have some exciting news. I will possibly be doing live election coverage on election night, which is November 3rd, 2020. I do have to work out some details, but it is a strong possibility. So stay tuned for that. And thank you all for listening to Jarius, the Unofficial Therapist.